Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and this is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Today, our discussion will be, have we been told the truth? Has there been honesty and transparency concerning the safety and efficacy of the vaccines? Not just Pfizer's vaccines, but all the vaccines. We've been led to believe by virtually the entirety of the mainstream media that not only are they safe and effective, but we have so many stopgaps in case there was a problem with the FDA, the CDC, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, the U.S. Public Health Service, all working along with the World Health Organization and other institutions in other countries, that nobody should be concerned. Yes, occasionally there will be some adverse effect. That is inevitable. But you have to look at the larger good. And therefore, a few people, and only a few, will have those events, and hopefully most will be minor. That's the story we've been told from Rachel Maddow and other people. And since the liberal democratic media has been the leading spokespersons for encouraging, in fact, even demanding that we care about each other, so as a society, let's care about not infecting each other. And that's why most people lined up to take the vaccines. So then, is that the truth now that we're 3.5 years into this? Can we look back now, or 3 years into it, can we look back and say, we're glad we did it, it saved our lives, prevented us from infecting other people, especially older people, and we did the right thing? Or have we had any certified evidence that we were misled? In fact, it was done with malice. Could it be that those in charge knew from the very beginning, early on, that it did not prevent spread, it was highly dangerous, and this was something that they could not sell the public easily? Who would want to line up if they knew their opportunity to have some damage to their heart that would not be transient, would not be temporary? Myocarditis is permanent. And that would mean they would be at risk, not only now, but if they exercised and were athletic, in the future could drop dead of a heart attack. In order to unravel this, we have invited a person who is very familiar with the actual facts. She's not a doctor, but she has a doctorate. It's Naomi Wolf. She is the CEO of the Daily Clout, a nonprofit that enables people to see, share, and affect live legislative bills, which otherwise would be largely non-transparent and passed in secret behind closed doors. But she is perhaps best known as a leading feminist. She is a journalist. She is the author writing about feminism and women's rights and the emerging totalitarianism in the United States, more recently the COVID pandemic, and creeping institutional tyranny. Her articles have appeared in The Nation, The Guardian, and Huffington Post. And last year, Naomi released her 11th book, The Bodies of Others, The New Authoritarians, COVID-19, and the War Against the Human, which unveils the big pharma and an oligarchical elite to use the COVID-19 pandemic as an opportunity to revision our civilization against the will and freedom of the people. Naomi graduated from Yale University as a Rhodes Scholar to attend Oxford University, where she later received her doctorate in English language and literature. In the past, she has taught at Barnard College and Stony Brook and George Washington Universities. She hosts a weekly program, Daily Clout, which can be heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network, and her website is dailyclout, that's C-L-O-U-T.io, and her blog is naomiwolf.substack.com. And I'm talking on the telephone because we have some technical issues, but Naomi is here with us now. Nice to have you back, Naomi.
It's very nice to speak with you again. Thank you for having me.
Naomi, the average person is trusting. Most people are very decent. And after all, we learn to trust through our families, through our communities, through our religions, through our interactions with other people. Because if you don't have trust, what then do you actually share of meaning within any relationship, work or home? So the vast majority of people trusted everything they were told. But then beyond the trust, they were scared. A fear was based upon the information that we were given. If you don't do this, there is a consequence. So I'm going to ask you to take your time, there is no rush, and take us through what we now can say are not based upon opinions, but based upon information that you were able to work with Steve Bannon and others, and then a whole group of 2,500 in the United States of experts in different fields, and 3,500 worldwide, of collecting all this data, hundreds of thousands of documents, and then seeing this is what they wanted to keep from us. 75 years the FDA did not want to see this information. If they were transparent and fair, why wasn't this right up front? So if there was a problem early on, we could have stopped the hemorrhaging, and the hemorrhaging came from the latest figure I have, and I feel it's a fairly accurate figure, in America alone, 12 million injured, 1,360,000 seriously injured, many permanently injured, and 300,000 dead. Now, these are not just guesses. This is also based upon actuary information and epidemiologists breaking down the information, and much of this is coming through your organizations. Mm-hmm. That said, tell us the story that no one in the mainstream media, including places you used to be able to attend.
Yeah.
Now you are a target, as you well know, on Wikipedia. You don't see yourself being invited on to share your information in a civil manner on MSNBC or an interview with the New York Times or the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
As a leading liberal, an enlightened liberal, for those of us who believed in liberalism with a large L, we're now seeing that completely usurped it. And now we see the Democratic corporate liberal, an entirely different phenomena, of which you and I and many others have been excluded, excoriated, attacked, and vilified because we decided to look for the truth without silencing people with a different opinion. The forum is yours.
Right. Thank you. Well, you've summarized it really well. Indeed, I'm not a doctor, but I'm overseeing with the project directorship of a very talented project director, Amy Kelly, the work of 3,500 medical and scientific experts. And these do include physicians, RNs, biostatisticians, medical fraud investigators, lab clinicians, research scientists, people, you know, radiologists, pathologists, anesthesiologists, people from many skill sets in the medical and scientific world, and 3,500 of them have convened from around the world to volunteer for the service of humanity, which is extraordinary, to read through the 55,000 documents. Some of these documents themselves each are tens of thousands of pages long that were released under a court order that were in the custody of the FDA, and they're Pfizer's internal documents. And as you noted, the FDA asked the court not to release them for 75 years till we're all gone, and the court did not agree, and that's why we have access to these documents. So as a journalist, I was worried that these would go down the memory hole because they're so technically written and they're so voluminous. No ordinary journalist can understand them. But with the help of these experts, and with my kind of training them in writing for a lay audience, they've written what are now 65 reports, and about 50 of them are in a book that we have released called The War Room Daily Cloud, Pfizer Documents, Research, Analysis, Reports. And these reports document, Gary, the greatest crime against humanity ever. And you haven't been told about it. You've been told the opposite, as you said. So basically, Pfizer knew that these injections would murder and maim and sterilize people at industrial scale, and that they would cause strokes and neurological events and hemorrhages and blood clots and lung clots and leg clots and arthritis and dementia and heart attacks and thrombocytopenia at industrial scale, that they would kill people, 1,200 deaths alone in the first 3 months after rollout in the post-marketing experience, as they call it, just December, January, February of 2020 to 2022. So you can multiply that. If 12 people die every 3 months, you know, you can multiply that. We've got a mass murder event.
And I can get into the many horrors that are detailed in the Pfizer documents. But I guess what I really want to also highlight as a takeaway is that the documents reveal a very intentional, very specific, targeted 360-degree attack on human reproduction, and especially an attack on women. These injections harm women versus men by a factor of, in many of the reports, 3-to-1, but in some reports, 8-to-1, and they target all systems, you know, all organ systems. But it does appear, and I can share the detail, you know, as abundantly as you like, it does appear that the goal of these injections, one major goal and horrible outcome of this, which is independent midwives identifying shrunken placentas, gray placentas, placentas with calcifications, stopping nutrients from getting to baby, that the focus in the Pfizer documents is on ruining the fertility of the next generation.
Please go into these in depth.
Sure. Well, let me start with some of the, you know, initial horrors, and then I'll go into the reproductive horrors. So in the first month after the rollout of the injections, November 2020, Pfizer knew that they didn't work to stop COVID. In the documents, the assessment is a failure of efficacy and vaccine failure. And these are quotes from, these are Pfizer's own words. And indeed, they saw that the third most common side effect of receiving the injections was COVID. So everything that followed after that, Gary, all the mandates, all the coercion, all the shaming and separating of the United States and other countries into two-tier societies in which unvaccinated people were denied basic civil rights and access to human civilization, that was all based on a lie. These injections did not work to stop COVID, and they knew it. So there's another agenda afoot. Within a couple of months, they knew that they would have to hire 2,400 full-time staff in order simply to process the paperwork of the adverse events that they were already receiving and that they knew they would receive in the near future, 2,400 full-time staffers, just to keep track of all the horrible things that people were reporting were happening to them. In May of 2021, Pfizer knew that 35 minors had sustained heart damage within a week after having been injected, but they did not tell the parents of America or anyone. And indeed, the FDA knew. All of these documents, you've got to, you know, picture this, say FDA confidential at the bottom. The FDA is the custodian of these documents. So not only were the parents of America not told that minors were sustaining myocarditis, and as you pointed out, it's not trivial. It doesn't come and go. I'm here in Alexandria, Virginia, with Dr. Flowers, one of the leads on our team, a very respected oncologist, radiologist, directed cancer clinics at UCSF, and he explains that myocarditis, you know, you have it forever, and it can shorten your life, even if you don't drop dead of a heart attack right away. And it restricts your life, right, because you can't, you get shortness of breath, you can't exercise, you know, without risk. And, you know, all the things healthy young adults do, they can no longer do. Anyway, we weren't told about that risk, but what we were given in the summer of 2021 was a massive government-funded propaganda barrage aimed at teenagers and young adults and parents saying, vaccinate your teenager, vaccinate your teenager, with influencers on social media, with you know, cool graphics. But they knew that this caused heart damage in young adults. And the FDA didn't release a press release till 4 months later in August. And as a parent, this is one of the most criminal things because, you know, millions of young adults got vaccinated for no reason because of that propaganda campaign and that denial of informed consent. So this is very important. And another distinguished member of our group, Dr. Robert Chandler, who is a sports medicine physician who treated the Angels and the Lakers and other important sports teams, he broke this story for us. We were told by the spokespeople that the material of the injection stays in the deltoid, in the injection site. But this is not true. And they knew it. They knew that within 48 hours, the materials, which are lipid nanoparticles, which are an industrial fat made in China, covered in each one polyethylene glycol, which is a petroleum derivative that is a known allergen that causes anaphylactic shock for people who are allergic to it, and as well as mRNA and spike protein and the adjuvant, it biodistributes within 48 hours throughout the body. Dr. Chandler said it's like a gunshot, a shotgun blast to the body, rather, like scattering everywhere. And lipid nanoparticles have been known for 10 years to cross every membrane in the human body, including the blood-brain barrier. So it's highly irresponsible to the point of criminal. Like the doctors say irresponsible, I'm saying criminal, knowing this, to create an injection based on this material that it has never been safe for human use. Well, the lipid nanoparticles and these other materials bioaccumulate in certain organs, the brain, the liver, the kidney, the spleen, the lymph, and if you're a woman, they accumulate in your ovaries. So what's really so scary is that Dr. Chandler showed that the chart goes down as the materials leave the deltoid, and it goes up as they accumulate in these organ systems. And he saw that the second injection packs in more. And again, if you're a woman, into your ovaries, the booster will pack in more. And he's found no mechanism. None of our volunteers have found a mechanism yet by which these materials leave the body. They don't get metabolized. They don't get excreted. You know, and this makes me so angry, Gary, because early on, I have, you know, highly distinguished scientists and doctors in my family. And they were like, get the vaccine, get the vaccine. I was like, where does the spike protein go? And they were making things up. They were saying, well, of course, because, you know, it's processed by the body and excreted. And there was no evidence of that. And so that's not where it goes. It accumulates in your organs, and they knew it. And so the reason I bring this up is it explains a lot of the subsequent inflammation, the strokes, the clots, the heart attacks, the hemorrhages, because lipid nanoparticles, these industrial fats, are liquid in freezing temperatures, but they aggregate, they clump in room temperatures and thus in body temperatures. So it's an incredibly damaging thing to do. And our team has helped to break the story of the mechanism of how lipid nanoparticles are causing all of these problems throughout the body. And just one example is there's so many neurological events in the Pfizer documents. Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré, you know, we mentioned strokes, tremors, seizures. Well, the lipid nanoparticles degrade the myelin sheath that is where electrical impulses are conducted for the nervous system. That's just one example. But going back to the lipid nanoparticles being packed into the ovaries, if you fast forward, Dr. Chandler also found a chart, which as a woman makes me so angry, I could literally put these people in prison myself for the rest of their lives who did this to women. It's a chart using very calm scientific language that breaks down about 20 categories of ruining women's menstrual cycles in horrible ways, ranging from 2 periods a month to bleeding every day of the month to no periods at all, you know, meaning no baby. There's a group in France called Où est mon cycle, where is my cycle? It's gone. To, you know, agonizing hemorrhaging menses, to long postmenopausal menses. We've got stories of women in their 80s bleeding. These are in the Pfizer documents as well. You know, reports of 10-year-old girls starting menarche immediately after being injected. So Pfizer, and now there are millions of women who are having agonizing, disabling, or completely weird menstrual cycles. And I'll get to the fertility issue later, which is so easy to foresee. And I was deplatformed in June of 2021 and smeared globally for just noting that women were having menstrual problems, reporting menstrual problems after the injection. But Pfizer knew about this, and each category of ruining women's menstrual cycle has like tens or 20,000 of women listed. So Pfizer knew what they were doing to women, and they kept going. So those are some examples, but I'm going to fast forward a little. We've had a series of reports on stroke, kidney damage, liver damage, and anaphylaxis. And in each case, about 60 people died. And of those, about half of the adverse events were within 48 hours after the injection. So they knew. And again, women are grossly overrepresented in the people who are disabled or injured or killed by these injections. And now I will get into the evidence of the horrible attack on human reproduction, the effective attack. So Pfizer defines in the documents exposure to the vaccine as including inhalation, skin contact, and sexual intercourse, especially at the time of conception. So they know they know that it sheds, right? People have anecdotally said, I get sick around vaccinated people, or my period has changed around vaccinated people. It's true. It's transmitted through skin contact and inhalation. So if you work in a room with a newly vaccinated person, especially you're according to Pfizer, you're being exposed to the vaccine. If you have intercourse with a vaccinated man, at least a man, it doesn't address women, the same is true. So according to Pfizer, so they told the men in their study who were vaccinated not to have intercourse with women of childbearing age, and if they did, to use two reliable forms of contraception. And so they knew that there was something transmitted in the semen or sperm of a vaccinated man that was damaging to conception. Nonetheless, even though pregnant women were excluded from the trial, 270 of them got pregnant. Pfizer managed to lose the records of 234 of them, which is illegal. You're supposed to follow the subject to the end of the study. And of the 34 women whose records survived, I'm sorry, of the 36 women whose records survived, 34 of them, or over 78%, lost the baby to spontaneous abortion or miscarriage. So they knew that this injection caused catastrophic rates of spontaneous abortion or miscarriage, and they kept going. The lipid nanoparticles and the mRNA, well, certainly the lipid nanoparticles and the polyethylene glycol, I mentioned they get into the blood, of course, and into the lymph. Well, breast milk is built up of blood and lymph, and sure enough, there's now lipid nanoparticles coated in polyethylene glycol in the breast milk of lactating vaccinated moms. And four women in the Pfizer documents who were lactating had breast milk that turned blue-green, and they are poisoning their babies by nursing them because the babies who were nursing from vaccinated moms in the Pfizer documents, one, they were having failure to thrive, they're inconsolable, agitated, and other studies, one other NIH study confirms this. And in the Pfizer documents, one baby, poor baby, goes into convulsions and after nursing and is taken to the ER and dies. So why is this? Because a petroleum byproduct is now in the breast milk of vaccinated moms. And indeed, unsurprisingly, the nursing of babies, which is so important for their health over the rest of their lifetime, has gone from 34% of all moms to now only 14%. And not surprisingly, the same tech bros and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation people who invested in the vaccines are also invested in artificial lab-grown breast milk as well as artificial wombs, which we'll get to, because the lipid nanoparticles also compromise the womb, the placenta, in the womb of a pregnant woman. So they traverse every membrane in the human body. They also traverse the placenta, and there is no more important membrane, you know, for reproducing human species than the membrane that is the placenta. So now, so the LNPs go not just into the fetal environment, but into the fetus. So now you've got fetal boys, and Amy Kelly broke this story, who in utero of vaccinated moms, their testes are being degraded by lipid nanoparticles. And not only their testes, but their Leydig cells and Sertoli cells, which are the factories of masculinity later on, which, you know, regulate the hormones that turn boys into, at puberty, adult men with, you know, what we recognize as adult sexual secondary characteristics, secondary sexual characteristics like deep voices, broad shoulders, the ability to reproduce. They're, we don't know if these poor little baby boys will ever grow up to be fertile or to, you know, even, you know, develop like adult men as we have understood adult men to be, you know, for millennia in our species. So now, and by the way, you know, the intentionality of all of this is an attack on reproduction is so clear because, like, Pfizer would mate rats, one vaccinated, one unvaccinated, then sacrifice them and then analyze their sexual organs. And this is a respiratory pathogen, you know, nominally. So why are you, you know, so focused on the sex organs of vaccinated rats if you're looking at a respiratory issue? It's all about reproduction. So sure enough, there's now a drop in fertility in Western Europe and North America. Indeed, there's been a 13 to 20% drop in, you know, fertility new babies, according to government databases in 14 countries, which the analyst Igor Chudov has proven. And so there are a million missing babies now in 1 year in Western Europe. And I'll get to why it's Western Europe and North America in a minute. But and we now know, and I've been getting firsthand accounts and reporting on them, we have four independent confirmations, one from Ryan Cole, the pathologist, one from Dr. Jim Thorpe, the fetal maternal medicine specialist, one from a midwife named Ellen Jasmer in Northern California, and one from a midwife named, I'm going to have to check my notes for her name, but a second independent midwife in Sacramento. And all of them are seeing the same thing, which is these compromised placentas post-vaccination and post-2020. So in some cases, it could be post-COVID. They haven't teased that out yet, according to Ellen Jasmer. But these placentas have nettings of calcifications that compromise the safety of the baby. They are, Ellen Jasmer showed me pictures of them. They're terrifying. You know, they can be shrunken. Like, she showed me one that was, like, two diameters too small. When wives are delivering babies early because the placentas are too constricted to, you know, let the baby grow to term. She's shown me, two different midwives showed me silver-gray placentas when healthy placentas are purplish-red. And they are showing me, again, calcifications, just like Dr. Thorpe found, these invisible white bumps all over the placentas, and they also flatten, like they don't retain their shape like healthy placentas, they flatten. I'm going into all of this detail because these in these mechanisms, these lipid nanoparticles can do that to placentas. And so we're seeing the evidence, and we're also seeing the crime because there's, you know, that Pfizer knew that this would happen. And again, it's not new news. Lipid nanoparticles have been known to compromise membranes for a decade, and which is why they're used in like last-ditch situations. Like you've got a brain tumor, you're going to die. They'll send the medicine to your brain with lipid nanoparticles. But healthy people have never been injected with lipid nanoparticles at scale. And just returning to the chart showing damage to women. Of the adverse events, 72% of them are in women. And of those, 16% versus 0.9% are, in Pfizer's own words, quote-unquote, reproductive disorders in women. So they knew they were sterilizing women. They knew it. And now we're seeing the horrible outcome. There's, I asked Ellen Jasmer to send me a picture from her practice of a healthy placenta post-2020 to compare it to the diseased placenta she sent me, and she said she can't because they're all compromised now.
Let's go over a few other areas that concern me. All of the scientists, you mentioned Dr. Cole, one of America's leading pathologists. He's done hundreds of thousands of pathological examinations in his laboratory. He is now being attacked. Dr. McCullough attacked, Malone attacked, Pierre Corey attacked, virtually everyone, orthodox, pro-vaccines, many actually got the vaccines themselves, and now seeing the consequences and saying, first, do no harm. So it would seem that the entire operation was coordinated to control the narrative from the beginning. And by that, there was no form that I'm aware of anywhere in the United States or Great Britain or France that was allowed to bring scientists, physicians, public health officials together to say, hold on a second, before we go any further, start mandating this as a part of a regular annual vaccine for children, for example, shouldn't we take a look at these anomalies and see how this bodes, and shouldn't we look at the actual statistics, not listening to propagandists coming forward, who on the one hand will attack you and call you a COVID denier or a vaccine denier, as they're doing Robert Kennedy, and they did it yesterday when he had his announcements for president. Not one single media would acknowledge that he has a legitimate. They all said he's a vaccine denier. Now, how then, if there's no open discussion, are we to know the truth? And how, when the truth is in the hands of only a minority people who have no national forms or platform, how is that information supposed to get out so people can say, hold on a second, I believe in my body, my choice, freedom of choice, but what is freedom of choice without having a freedom of knowing the consequences to that choice? And
right.
If you were to, say what you've said today, how many people in America would continue to say, okay, I'm going to take my booster, because now they're talking about endless boosters going on forever. And how many people would do this if they knew what you just said?
I mean, nobody, right? I mean, you know, the world has changed so completely in terms of access to information since 2020, and you're 1,000% correct. The narrative, and I wrote about this in my book, The Bodies of Others, and I taxpayer money to buy up every major legacy media platform to conform with, quote-unquote, overcoming vaccine hesitancy. The Guardian took the money, the BBC took the money, NPR took the money, you know, on and on and on and on. So it's really, you mentioned that I used to appear on legacy news for 35 years. I was a media darling on the left. And overnight, I was exiled from all of those platforms. It turns out that, very frighteningly, the White House, for whom I'd voted, and the CDC and DHS and the Bureau of the Census, which scarily, now I realize, oh my God, it could be the Bureau of the Census because they're in charge of checking that there's a decrease in the population. But they all colluded, a lawsuit has revealed, to deplatform me and to target me. There was a bolo out for me because of my menstrual symptoms tweet, be on the lookout, like I'm a fugitive. And this has happened, as you say, to every single, and there was a handful of us, right, principled, you know, journalist or doctor who has simply done what journalists and doctors are supposed to do, which is look for the truth, report the truth, give informed consent in the case of doctors. So there's a massive censorship. I think it's facilitated also through AI in ways that are new because the censorship is happening at a global scale, country after country after country, and also because the talking points of the narrative are being reproduced at a more comprehensive scale than human editors and publishers are capable of. And there are horrible consequences. I mean, I lost everything by just being a reporter on women's health issues, as I've been for 35 years, been celebrated for reporting on women's health issues for 35 years. I lost my business. I six-figure withdrawal of an investor. You know, I mean, new opportunities that open up for us patriots and truth tellers, but it's very scary. And there's a point at which, you know, people can get broken financially or reputationally or, you know, Dr. McCullough speaks of being stripped of his affiliations one by one by one. So it's very terrifying to witness. And it has a practical consequence. I mean, the country has now been divided into two groups, depending on the media they consume. You know, people who listen to alternative networks like yours, and, you know, paradoxically, a lot of conservative and libertarian independent alt-right podcasts are getting access to this information. But my loved ones who believe that CNN never lies and the New York Times is the paper of record are thoroughly propagandized and believe things that are not true. And in dozens of cases, loved ones of mine are now suffering as a result of that from the side effects, serious side effects, ranging from kidney failure to myalgia that is life-changing to, you know, healthy young adults having, you know, shoulder replacements, knee surgery, you know, my beloved mother having, you know, myocarditis or tachycardia. I shouldn't say that. It's heart damage that's more less severe after the first booster of Moderna. You know, every one of these symptoms is in the Pfizer documents. And by the way, Moderna is more than three times more lethal than Pfizer, because more than three times the active ingredients, and Pfizer knew that. So we're living in a world in which, like, information is life, and that's why I'm talking as much as I can about this book, because what's in this book, the Pfizer documents book that we've released, is life-saving to people who don't get access to the information elsewhere.
I'm going to lay out a few principles here that we can say with confidence are accurate, and then I would like to get your opinion of where do we need a new wave of feminists, ones that are more humanistic, looking for the truth, not an ideological foundation, to where if you care about women, and we should, then why do we then condemn women, including yourself and others, who take a position that challenges the establishment? Because I wasn't aware that the establishment was supposed to be defended and protected by the women's movement or its spokespersons. And I'm very concerned about that. Can you address that before I get into other issues?
Yeah, but I mean, Gary, I'm so cynical about feminism right now. I don't even think we need a new feminist movement because, you know, I said last night at our book party, it's 1776. Every one of our institutions has revealed itself to be completely corrupted, including feminism. You know, and we have to start over. We have to rebuild from the bottom up uncorrupted institutions. Feminists have been the greatest compromised group, along with obstetricians and gynecologists, of any group in this sad, disgusting debacle. You know, as more and more evidence is emerging that women are being targeted in, you know, their uteruses are being targeted, their reproductive capacity, which is supposed to be the centerpiece of what feminists care about, you know, my body, my choice, that's being targeted. You know, they've been silent. You know, where is Gloria Steinem, whom I adore? Silent. Where is the Boston Women's Health Collective, the people who wrote Our Bodies, Ourselves? You know, where are they? Where are all the... I almost cried when I was interviewing Ellen Jasmer, because it's a year and a half after I sounded the first alarm about reproductive damage to women, and she is the first feminist women's healthcare practitioner who has come forward to talk about what's happening to women, what she sees. And these placentas she sees, every damn obstetrician and gynecologist and midwife in America and Western Europe is seeing similar ones, if we're getting reports from four independent sources as we are, right? So this is a tipping point, and all of these people are silent. All of these people are silent, and many of them took the money and remained silent as a result, and they are all complicit in a mass murder situation. So, you know, we're not going to – it's bigger than, you know, let's have more humane feminists. They've ruined themselves. They have no credibility. I wouldn't trust them with my – you know, I wouldn't trust them with anyone's health, of anyone I love. They are thoroughly treacherous. And that's true of every doctor, every nurse, every midwife, you know, who has stood by or facilitated this debacle. But, you know, right now, we had this event for the volunteers. Right now in this group Airbnb where I'm staying in Alexandria, there's a pharmacist named Erica. I won't give her last name without her permission. But she literally has lost everything. She's lost her house. She's had to sell her house because, you know, her primary asset because she can't afford to live in it anymore because she refused to take the injection and to participate in forcing it on other people without informed consent. She's lost everything. And she's there, you know, helping the volunteers get the truth to people every single day for no money at all, because that's the way decent human beings are supposed to behave. They're not supposed to participate in poisoning and murdering their fellow human beings. So, you know, she did it. She's facing horrible consequences. So I have no patience for people who, you know, colluded, and that includes the entire feminist establishment. Where's now? Where's NARAL as women are unable to give birth, which is at least as important as the ability to have an abortion? I'm starting to feel it's more important.
And also, let us not forget, this is not the beginning of this. You could go back 10 to 15 years and see in Kenya where a vaccine, which was sponsored by the Bill Melinda Gates Foundation, which was given without proper parental consent, and they started seeing sterilized women, and they couldn't understand that. So a group of physicians there began to get samples throughout the entire country and found out that there had been a luteinizing manufactured vaccine that prevented these women from being pregnant. That was not by error. That doesn't happen by error. And they had also done it in some other countries. So the Kenyan government came forward and condemned them for this. What was the consequences? Nothing. They went into India, did something similar. Now, how in the world can you reconcile Bill Gates at a major TED Talk talking about how we've got too many people on the planet and we can't take care of all them all, so we're going to have to, if we use, and he said this, vaccines, among his other suggestions, to eliminate about 10 to 15% of this population. Now, that's not the same as rounding them up and putting them in a camp and killing them, but when you're sterilizing people without their knowledge or consent, you're taking control over their body, their destiny, and their family's destiny. And right. He was never once challenged by anyone in the media, financial establishment, or government for having done that. And yet we can show a direct link between the two. He also made over $500 million profit by emphasizing over and over everywhere that you had to have every person on the planet at that point, 7 billion. We've just had 8 billion people on the planet. That's how we deal with COVID. That's how it ends when we're all vaccinated. Now, and he started a major pharmaceutical company marketing the vaccines and participating in the stock of vaccines that are out there now. When he saw it wasn't working, he cashes out. And then he comes back and kind of says, well, you know, no, it wasn't perfect and it didn't work, but we're on to something new, and now the new is Anthony Fauci's also, now that he's retired, he's working for this company that they're making a vaccine that you can spray in the person's nasal cavities and that will work. Mm-hmm. I believe this, we're coming up to about 12 minutes left. I believe that the only way this is going to end is not why we give them amnesty, that an article I'm sure you're aware of, the New Yorker wanted, when how in the world can you give amnesty when no one has acknowledged they've committed a crime? In South Africa, you were given amnesty, but you had to admit everything, and if anything you left out, they found out about, you went to prison. But here, everyone wants to say lessons learned, you know, like in Vietnam and Afghanistan, you know, and Syria and Libya, lessons learned, let's go on, forget it, put it behind us. And we're saying no. So here's how I see one theoretical hypothesis playing out. Mm-hmm. I see that the best thing that could happen right now is that for the first time in 16 years, the Republicans, and I'm not saying Republicans versus Democrats, I'm just simply saying they're holding hearings that were never allowed, because you can't have a hearing in either the Senate or the House unless the Speaker of the House or the head of the Senate, Schumer and Pelosi, grant that. All the others were simply committees that would hold in conference rooms, but none of that was official, and the media never covered it, including Representative Johnson's hearings. So now, here's how it's going to work, I believe. Now we have a whistleblower that just came forward yesterday. This person is the head of the IRS's Special Investigation Unit, criminal unit, and was working exclusively on the Hunter Biden with a whole team. They had more than enough compelling documentation to bring charges against Hunter Biden and his family, including his father, engaged in illegal activities. And it wasn't just in Ukraine. It was countries all over the world with tens of millions of dollars, and it was going into a limited liability partnership shell companies, so it would be hidden. And lo and behold, what do we find out from the whistleblower? The two U.S. attorneys said they wouldn't take it on. They're not going to prosecute it. But under oath, just a couple weeks ago, who said that Garland said, oh, no, we have nothing to do. The FBI has nothing to do with that, or Justice Department has nothing to do with it. That's the U.S. attorneys. Now we find out that those U.S. attorneys were told they're not going to do it. He's going to Congress. He sent every legislator in both the House and the Senate his information. He also met privately with the Inspector General of the IRS to proclaim he's a whistleblower and turn over the documents, and he met with the Inspector General of the Justice Department. So this is a big deal. He's going to be brought in this week or next week and testify under oath. At the same time that's happening, we also have hearings being held on the origins of COVID. We have information, especially from a female reporter out of Australia that has never been mentioned in the United States media or interviewed by anyone, who did a magnificent book showing documents that the Chinese government's Department of Defense had 99 PhD virologists working on the intention to weaponize for gain-of-function research, weaponization of the SARS virus, and it was being paid for in part by the United States with a route that takes it through the University of North Carolina and over to a Wuhan hospital, then into the Wuhan viral lab. And all this was hidden. That's all coming out. And under oath now, all these things are going to come out. With those two separately coming out, Robert Kennedy then is the leading attorney in the United States, or one of the three leading attorneys, I should say, in the United States, who are bringing Freedom of Information Act requests or suing for documentation. And I believe that very shortly, with the information that is going to come out under oath, they will have enough of the prima facie evidence to bring a case of conspiracy against Fauci and Walensky and everyone else associated, and that cannot be hidden. It can be attacked and will be. So let us put this in proper perspective. There has been no investigation by the Justice Department, the FBI, or any member of Congress as far as their power in a committee to bring in the whistleblowers under oath and have them present the information they have with documentation, for example, that now we do have and will be presented on how much money the Bidens were making, all of the Bidens. It's now up to nine, and they feel that there's two more people that are still participating in that. That means not only all the immediate Biden family, but also nieces. And remember, they have no experience in the energy, production, oil, gas, nothing at all, no criteria at all, except they are related to Joe Biden. On the other hand, here's Fauci, and Fauci's made all these statements under oath in front of Rand Paul, saying, you know, you are mistaken, you don't know what you're talking about, Rand Paul, we've never funded gain-of-function research, not now and in the past, and yet all the documents that are now coming forward show just the opposite. So now we have this conundrum. On the one hand, the media is still saying the vaccines are safe and effective. You got to get them, the boosters, your kids have got to get them, you've got to get them. Just keep doing what you've been doing. Everything's fine, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. So that house of cards is collapsing. On the other hand, who's behind that? This administration and the Biden family. On the other side of that is who's prevented us up to this point of finding out what the Chinese knew and did with this administration. So at every point where we could have known the truth, they stopped it. Their Justice Department stopped it. Their congressional oversight stopped it. Their Senate oversight stopped it. The media stopped it. They shut down the arguments and condemned and attacked the people who were willing to come forward as whistleblowers. Now, evidently, dozens upon dozens of FBI and whistleblowers are coming forward to talk about the politicalization, the weaponization of the FBI. Not just a few, dozens upon dozens. And now you have this top IRS inspector who had a whole team working for over 4 years on the Hunter Biden laptop, and they all recommended that you were unanimous. There's more than enough compelling evidence, documentation, and the two U.S. attorneys would not take it. That means someone put pressure on him. Well, who put him in their position? Joe Biden. And who was it who told the 51 heads of intelligence agencies to write a letter saying there's nothing about the Hunter Biden laptop that's real, it's a Russian plant? Well, Joe Biden's Secretary of State, Blinken. So now you've got Blinken trying to run cover for the Bidens and protect them so that scandal doesn't come out. And you have the U.S. attorneys running cover not to indict Hunter Biden. Both of those are going to explode. There's too much evidence, too many witnesses, too many whistleblowers, and it's all going to come out in hearings. They can't prevent those hearings. So when the public sees these people, A, it's going to make the compliant Democrats look like traitors, and we're going to say as a nation, wow, we didn't know this. So that's going to split the people in the Democrats down the middle, and in comes Robert Kennedy, a person who is ethical, who has not been compromised, who's been one of the leading voices of trying to find the truth, who was all pro-vaccine. All of his kids have been vaccinated. He was vaccinated. His wife vaccinated. So you can't say he's an anti-vaxxer, and yet that's exactly what all the media said yesterday when he said he was running for president. Oh, the vaccine denier. No. No, he found the truth. These people are the deniers. So what do you think is going to happen when he goes forward and he starts suing the very people in the media who knew the truth and chose to hide it? And the FDA, the CDC, the World Health Organization, Anthony Fauci, all the people associated with him, all those people who signed that document claiming that none of it was legitimate, Hunter Biden's doing business deals, making millions of dollars, none of that was legitimate, it was Russian hoax, all those people are going to be sued. And they're going to be sued based upon the information that comes out in part under the testimony they give to Congress, plus documents from whistleblowers. And evidently, this IRS agent who had all the evidence needed to indict Hunter before grand jury, and the U.S. attorneys for Delaware and the other eastern states said no. So now, who told them to say no, to kill this? That's going to go back to the Justice Department. That's going to go back to the FBI. It's going to go back to the White House. So all this will implode over the next 6 to 9 months. At that point, massive litigation is going to occur. I believe that we'll see more lawsuits than in the last 100 years combined. The asbestos lawsuits, the Camp Lejeune lawsuits, the Agent Orange lawsuits, the DDT lawsuits, the cigarette, tobacco, Medicaid lawsuits. Put all those together, and you will have more people suing these manufacturers, these scientists who were there to protect us, there to tell us the truth, there to guard us from predators. And you're going to have hundreds of millions of people worldwide, possibly billions, and their entire edifice is going to collapse. And in its place will be more of the independent media, people telling you the truth without a political or some form of agenda. And people are going to start pulling away from CNN. They already have. It's got no one paying attention to it now. And then we'll see emerging from this Robert Kennedy. Now, here's the difference. Trump, who I consider as unfortunate, let's put it this way. In the old terms, he would have been considered an idiot savant. I believe that that is half true. I would simply eliminate the savant part. And all of the people who were going to be draining the swamp and taking their place, everyone was a swamp creature. Every single member of his cabinet at every level, all of the technocrats he brought in, all corporatists, all with the same agenda, greed, money. Obama, same thing. Clinton, same thing. Bush, the same thing. They all have been captured by special interest groups, but not Robert Kennedy. I know Robert. We communicate, and he's published a lot of my articles. He's put my Science for Hire up on the Children's Defense television channel. For the good liberals who were disgusted by what they've seen happening over the last 16, 18 years, where true liberal values and true conservative values have so much in common, freedom of speech, honoring that, the sanctity of the individual, no matter what their background, honoring that, and looking at people who are corrupt and corrupting the system and exploiting it, and have them pay that price. If a corporation were known to manufacture a product and they put it into the market with the knowledge that it would do damage, and they hid that, then they should lose their charter. Not just pay a fine, their charter. And all the executives and scientists who knew that the product could be damaging should be brought up on involuntary manslaughter charges or some other charge that would have them pay the price of lacking all moral and character. That has not been done up to this point to any corporation. I believe that that is possible when you have a cabinet that would be made up of people who are for the people and cannot be controlled by the K Street lobbyist and the special interest groups or the World Economic Forum or Klaus Schwab or the World Health Organization or the UN. So is it possible that this could happen? I'm merely sharing a hypothesis of the outcome of all these investigations, especially on COVID, and especially also on Hunter Biden, and especially the people in power, because all those people who did the bidding behind the scenes to stop investigations, to kill grand jury indictments, all those people would be held accountable. And then who would vote for any of the legislators like Adam Schiff after this? You wouldn't, if you had any ethics or decency. You would vote for someone that represented truth. Now, that's looking at an ideal from a dystopian perspective, but I believe that's what will happen, could happen, if we pay attention. Naomi, I'm going to invite you back for part two, because we've just gotten started on this. And once again, I want to thank you very much for all your input and all you're doing of championing the truth and getting it out there. That makes a big difference for all of us. Dr. Naomi Wolf, my guest. I'm Gary Knoll. And again, this is kind of like a little aside that I brought in at the end, because a lot of people say, well, where is this all going? Do we have any recourse? Can we do anything? And the answer is yes. If Robert Kennedy keeps going forward, they keep attacking him, and all the studies show that he was right, they were wrong, and we've all been lied to, used, manipulated. If you want to reach out to Naomi's new book, the book is called The Bodies of Others, The New Authoritarians, COVID-19 and the War Against the Human. If you want to go to her website, easy to do. By the way, she also is the head of the Daily Clout, but you can hear at 1 p.m. every Saturday on the Progressive Radio Network, or go to dailyclout.io, or her blog is naomiwolf.substack.com. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening to the Progressive Commentary Hour. Sorry, I was on the telephone today, but we've been having some technical issues, which we will clear up before our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.